The other thing that the independent contractors end up needing to do, in addition to including it on the 1040 Schedule C, is also pay the self-employment tax, which is the corollary to that Social Security and Medicaid. And so basically what we've found is that one of the areas where we've seen the case law heading is that gig workers are the folks who are usually signed up on the various apps. They are available to provide services to people, and they receive payment for those services. However, they, unlike employees, would be in more control of their schedule, and they really only have to switch it on when they're wanting to be available to perform services, and then when they don't want to, they can switch it off. Even if their program is switched on, they have the option of accepting or declining a particular service that they might be asked to perform. And so would your employees last very long if they said, oh, no, I don't think I want to do that job? You get someone else to do that. I'm gonna just work on this thing, and come to me some other time when you have something more interesting to work on. But in this case, they can do it because the app allows them to do it. But there have been some interesting cases regarding varieties of different gig workers, and gig really, you know, it comes from the background of the folks in the rock bands who had their performances that they would book, and it would really just be for a limited engagement. They pretty much work gig to gig, and they get paid for those gigs, and then it's up to them to find more places to play, more gigs to do, more gigs to perform. And this has translated its way into the workforce in the area of these folks who are using their personal cars to drive people around, folks who are using these apps to be able to make folks know about the services they're providing. There was one regarding somebody who provided services for pets. And so there are ways to be able to book pet sitters and dog walkers and get other types of services on these apps as well, like the Favor and the food delivery apps that are out there as well. So these are all individuals who are carving out bits of their time and going and doing things, which, you know, doesn't sound like your normal 8-to-5, 9-to-5 type job. You know, it's definitely not the type of work that Dolly Parton was doing when she made that movie that her character was engaged in, getting into the office, working all day, and then getting home and trying to deal with the rest of life. But they pretty much work when they want. So when we look at the types of controls, IRS looks at behavioral control. It looks at the types of instructions that they get. You know, how much power, how much control is there over the worker as far as their hours, where they can perform the work, what they can do while they're working, the degree of instruction that they get. And then the other piece of that is how much training do they have? Financial controls. Do they get expense reimbursements? Is there an accountable plan? These are all signs that there would be an employee relationship if they get reimbursed for expenses under an accountable plan. But there are also many contractors who do that. I know that when I go out on speaking engagements, I get reimbursed a lot of times for my mileage and my meals, and I send an invoice for that. Are they sending an invoice? Are they sending in a timesheet? What are the documents? What are the things that they're looking at? And so this is all, this is not new stuff on this end of the spectrum, but these same types of things are what are being looked at to determine in these new work environments who is a employee and who is a contractor. And the other piece of it is written type of relationship. The written contracts have been a big issue in these cases involving the gig workers. The fact that they do or do not have benefits, that is often another non-tax related impetus for a lot of these worker classification lawsuits is that they are not only looking to have their taxes taken care of for them, they're also looking to obtain benefits. So there's a case in the materials as well that talks about that. Permanency of the relationship, how frequently are they doing this work? And are these a key activity of the business? That's the integral factor type test that the TWC tends to focus on. Those are the types of things that they are looking at. And so I'm not going to go into all of those in detail. What I am going to do, though, is I'm going to talk a little bit about what we've seen on how these cases have been going in the various states. Because many times the original lawsuit is brought up at the state. And in California, very popular place to bring these challenges. Basically, what they started with was the Lyft drivers. And the Lyft drivers and the Uber drivers have similar agreements in place. When they start and sign up for it, they have to go through a background check. They have to have proper licensing for their cars. They have to have a car inspection. They basically have to have an in-person interview to make sure that they are the appropriate folks. And